Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. So much to get through today. The letter. Everybody's talking about the letter. Pat Forte got the letter. He certainly did for SI, and there's a that started another domino effect last night. Pat Forte from SI Sports Illustrated obviously reporting that Memphis has confirmed it's received in a letter from an anonymous source alleging, you know, violations under Penny Hardaway and the University of Memphis basketball program. So the story only seems to continue. It only seems to continue by the day, by the hour, as we get more developments on this. There's some serious questions at this point, and not just about the way things are unfolding, but I would say, too, probably about the future of Penny Hardaway here at this program. Now, everybody that you hear is telling you, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about just how bad we think it is and do that for a good portion of the show today. I will say, we're going to reserve some time for NFL talk.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We are not going to do 3 hours on this letter.
This is the opening freaking game.
That's right. Week one, baby. It's
here. Of a 2024 season that many of us are anticipating.
That's right.
Including me in a different way.
Excluding
me. KC fans looking to make history with a third straight. Baltimore fans looking for a little bit of revenge after last year and the way they lost to KC. So a lot to get to. A great NFL weekend kicks off tonight with our first game back. I got John Martin here. I got Brad Carson here. I'm grateful to be here. Let's do a great 3 hour show.
Yeah. Drew Hill's going to join us in the first hour, and we'll get his thoughts on a few things. Obviously, his thoughts on this Memphis basketball. He once upon a time was the Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer.
Sure was.
So we'll get his thoughts on the program and what's going on. And then, of course, we'll get his thoughts on the G.G. Jackson news, which is that he will be out for at least 12 weeks as a result of that surgery. So that would put him, you know, a December return at the earliest, which is not ideal, not great, but not the end of the world either. So we will talk to Drew Hill about that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Adam Chernoff from Right Angle Sports is going to join us to talk about the Week 1 NFL and some bets and some.
They got some releases.
Good spots. Yeah.
Bets and some releases.
But I will say, no sides. No, all totals, no sides, which is interesting. I guess it's because, you know, it's Week 1 and these numbers have been hitting every which way, but you know, I'm curious to see, you know, is there maybe a lean at least we can get out of them? Because I don't know about you, but when I bet on stuff, and I do it, you know, all the time, as you know.
Yeah, we know.
I don't nearly enjoy the total betting as much as I do the side betting. I enjoy the side betting because I'm like, I got one thing, right, that I'm focused on, that I'm pulling for. It's for this team to do well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, whether they're a 7-point dog or a 7-point favorite, I need this team to do well. As opposed to a total where I'm rooting for a bunch of different stuff, or if I have an under, I'm rooting for nothing. You know, like, so I just enjoy sides. I have no sides this week as of right now. Can we get one maybe going tonight in the opener? We shall see. Adam will join us at 1:25 for Run Angle Sports. So looking forward to that. But the Reynolds pamphlet. Have you read this?
Never going to be president now.
Never going to be president now. What did you say this morning? Never going to make the Sweet 16.
Well, there's somebody trying to finish it off, aren't they?
Yeah, it appears.
Sure there, feels like
there's
it.
Definitely, there is a disgruntled somebody along the way. First off,
do you know who it is?
I do not know who it is.
Okay, I just want to get that out of the way.
I do not know who it is, but There is an existence of a letter that is anonymous, that was written by someone who is anonymous, that alleges, and again,
It's everywhere now.
All allegations.
You've probably seen it.
You probably have seen it.
It was up at the Matta bus stop, I think, yesterday at some point. You know, it just made the rounds around town.
No, Memphis
and
actually...
And they cutting over there.
Memphis actually announced that the first 5,000 fans of the Troy game will get a copy of the letter.
A copy of the letter. Going to try to increase attendance over there after a tough first day. Everybody got the letter.
Damn.
And everybody's saying, I got the letter.
Damn.
So let's knock that out. Letter posted. If you want a copy of the letter, just hit us up.
That's right.
We pretty much got you at this point.
No, they're handing them out on campus, bro. If he's like, it's
so
like,
we have the
like
letter.
Costco samples, you know?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So anyway, there is an existence of a letter that is anonymous that alleges during the 2023-24 academic year, an academic counselor and her sister were appointed to do the academic assignments for select Tiger men's basketball players and were given payments through Cash App and other methods. It also suggests, this letter, that it was known to everybody involved, including Coach Penny Hardaway. Other allegations in the letter suggest that Penny Hardaway initiated a $30,000 payment to DeAndre Williams for his commitment to the University of Memphis that was sent on or about July 21st, 2020. The letter also alleges that Hardaway paid $60,000 to then Boise State transfer guard Emmanuel Acott for his commitment to Memphis. Acott, of course, never showed up here. He ended up going to Western Kentucky, where Rick Stansbury was the head coach at the time in August 2022. Also alleges that Penny Hardaway was providing money in order to help Acott become academically eligible during the several weeks that Acott was on campus prior to his eventual departure. Of course, this is all in the wake of a big shakeup on staff yesterday and Tuesday night. So it has been the busiest 24 to 48 hours for Memphis basketball. And before I bottom line it, the most important detail that I've left out to this point, that the University of Memphis confirmed the letter's existence publicly to media and confirmed that they turned it over to the NCAA. And we'll get to that in why it matters in just a moment. But I think that's where it starts. Pat Forty was the first to report the news of the letter.
Well, maybe it's the right place to start, John, because I think if you don't have an acknowledgement from the University of Memphis that we've received this letter and turned it over, Pat Forty doesn't have a story. Then all he has at that point are allegations, anonymous ones at that. And guys, you know, those of us, and Pat Forty certainly one of them, but anybody that's been in the business, you get that all the time. You get letters written to you about, and they're anonymous, and there's nothing you can really do with them, unless that story then becomes one because the school or whatever that's being accused has acknowledged it's real. In most of these cases, I have to believe, I know it.
Yep.
The school isn't going to acknowledge these, or the comment is going to be, we don't comment on anonymous allegations. It is so key in this, it feels like to me, that Memphis said, yeah, we've got it. Because and we can go through parts of the letter, but right there at the top, and you talked about it, they talk about DeAndre Williams, Memphis getting him back in 2020. And oh, by the way, there's a familiar name right there in the letter in the allegation, Jermaine Johnson. Mm-hmm. I think it's July of 2020. Okay, Jermaine Johnson has apparently helped pay off DeAndre Williams, who's DeAndre's coach again. We used to have him on the Kenneth Roy. Right, that name's right there. Okay, that's fine. There's an allegation there, but Memphis has to know too that Jermaine Johnson was not hired. Was not an assistant at Memphis until November of 2020. And so what, you're going to prove that Jermaine Johnson was doing dirty work for Penny before he was even hired back in July? My point is that Memphis could look at that. Anybody off the streets could look at that and say, well, this is baseless. This is anonymous right now. I mean, maybe there is some truth to it, but we don't need to acknowledge this. These are allegations that I'm sure, again, schools all across the country or folks, whether it's fired employees, whether it's fans with axes to grind, you get this kind of stuff all the time. So key here, it feels like to me, is this acknowledgement by Memphis. And as Pat Forty did, and I think, John, you can tell me, Daily Memphian did too, you guys got it acknowledged through Memphis's communications department.
Correct.
Not the athletic department, the communications department. That means the school says we've acknowledged it. This isn't just the athletic department. A little bit of a difference there, because typically those issues, they go up to the president. That could be a presidential call. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's the key to me, is that, you know, what would typically be, I would say, normal here. Now, some of these allegations we know, I mean, John, you know, can go down the list here. The Malco thing, hey, there could be some teeth to this thing. We know about that academic investigation and how it's ongoing. But my point is, there's enough in here to where you look at it and you say, we don't need to acknowledge this if you have your coach's back and you believe he still can get the job done.
Yeah, I think that's really the curious part about all of this. Because my initial was, man, that's really kind of dumb by Memphis to acknowledge that.
Unless or if, just like we just said.
Maybe it was not some sort of naive, you know.
Maybe it wasn't dumb. Maybe it was, you're saying, Memphis.
Purposeful.
You can't rule it out.
No, I can't rule it out. And, in fact, I think I would maybe at this point say it is the likely scenario.
Well, and if I'm Penny Hardaway, you should certainly be paying attention.
Right.
Because, again, this is not an acknowledgement from Penny and his staff.
Right.
We got this letter. This is an acknowledgement by the university.
Absolutely.
These are your bosses. This is everybody else saying, no, we got this letter. We turned it over to the NCAA.
Right.
When they could have easily said,
yep,
we don't respond, we don't comment on anonymous allegations.
Because what I would say,
like most are going to do, you would feel like.
What I would say is that this letter has been circling around for a while.
Bro, Penny just brought Jermaine back. Jermaine's one of the top allegations. So
right.
if he was
right.
overly concerned, to
right.
your point, it's been out there for a while,
yeah.
you ain't bringing Jermaine back.
And it's basically like, you have to say, like, it's just so, allegations. It's no different than me typing up something anonymously and sending it to a bunch of news networks.
I think that's critically important.
Like
to point out,
it's just words. Now, are there details in there? Maybe yes. I mean, there are
yes,
details,
I'm,
I mean, there are entire there are Harry Potter books with lots of details. It's all fake. It's all fictitious. You know, again, I'm not saying that this is wrong. I'm not saying that it is right. But it is a nothing burger as far as I'm concerned, unless you have, you know, Cash App. You said it was Cash App, so show me the Cash App.
Show me,
you know, some kind of paper trail.
Yeah.
Show me something.
I know in the letter there's an acknowledgement of some sorts of receipts or
there's
something.
There's acknowledgement
the
of them,
thing,
but no
presentation
of them.
No reason you have to come out and address this. And back
right.
to the point, if you do not, Pat Forty doesn't have anything.
100%.
No one. There is 100%. No story.
I know
and
that for a fact.
Another day of this is then you've avoided that.
I talked to somebody at Sports Illustrated yesterday, and that is 100%.
Bro, nobody can write a story, although you know it better than anybody who's been in the business. You can't write a story with just baseless, or put it this way, anonymous allegations if nobody's acknowledging that they matter, that they're real. Memphis does that. You lend it, you give it credence when you say, yeah, we've received it and we turned it over.
Right.
You didn't have to do that.
Even if you did turn it over, you don't have to say that.
No.
Right? I mean, the key that you have to keep in mind here is that when Memphis was going through its stuff with James Wiseman back in 2020, 21, 22, there was a clear and obvious supporting and backing of Penny by the University of Memphis president at the time, and then by extension, Laird Veach, right? That administration would never have done this. That administration would never have come out and confirmed. They would have said this: we cannot comment or we will not comment on, you know, baseless or nameless or whatever. They would have said that.
Yeah.
They just would have not given any credence or credibility to the letter by acknowledging that it has been turned over. Because that's what you do, right? You give credibility to the letter when you say you've turned it over to the NCAA.
100%.
And then you release it to the national media so that you've created the story. You've created, and nobody over at the University of Memphis is stupid.
Dude, I mean, I was just about to say, that's PR 101.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's communications 101.
Yes. So
over there,
don't try to sell me on, oh, well, we're going to be, we're going to be this compliant and, you know, we're turning over new. I ain't buying it.
You literally added to the story by acknowledging that it existed.
Because you can still be that without causing a storm. You can still be compliant and transparent.
Correct.
You know, you don't owe anything to the national media, right? That's the thing. Yeah, you owe it to the NCAA if you think there's something that needs to be turned in, and you can turn that in. But you don't have to announce that. That was voluntary.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part of this that you have to you raise an eyebrow at. You raise an eyebrow at that this was at the absolute, at best it's curious, at worst it's intentional. And I have to imagine that those discussions are taking place inside that basketball building today, that it is a different time. It is a different time.
Oh yeah, it's a different athletic director, it's a different president than certainly the one that hired Penny. I mean, if in terms of maybe the way that you're, you know, approaching his tenure now, going into year seven, maybe the attitude's changed.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
And again, we're not you know, this is not necessarily a John and I talked about it. I'm not as familiar with the details, but weren't there, you know, with Pruitt, and there were folks within that Tennessee athletic department that were certainly, the way to put it, I don't know, they were helping, they were overly cooperative in terms of helping get him out of there, right? And who knows, maybe through 6-7 years, Penny's made some. So maybe it's an enemy, a guy that's got an axe to grind, like some are pointing to former employees, or maybe it's just an athletic department and a school that's decided we're going to deal with Penny Hardaway differently.
No doubt.
And we're going to hold him to a different level of accountability.
That's right.
Maybe it's that. Because again, we have to consider, and the person that needs to know that and be aware is Penny Hardaway.
Right, he is now.
That's going to be different than it's been. If that is indeed the case, and that's the evidence of that is the acknowledgement of the letter, then Penny Hardaway has to know, bro, they ain't got your back the same way they've had it. More importantly, they're telling you the way you've done this, you know, still being sloppy, still on probation. Like, this is not going to roll anymore. And so is it still worth it to you? When if you remember, he was just talking about, you know, what fans and media are saying about you. If you feel like this administration is going to be, it's going to be a different level of support for you. I'm not telling you that it's wrong for Memphis to change up the way it's dealt with Penny Hardaway. You know, in terms of this, it is tiring to constantly have to see Penny probation allegations. That it's gotten old. Not that great, you know, coaches don't survive this. Here's the deal. If you're winning enough, folks don't care.
Yep.
Well, Penny's not winning enough right now, and that's why this is a big deal. That's why it's more glaring. And maybe it's why you've got folks willing in that athletic department or in that administration to treat this differently now, to treat Penny's tenure differently. Perhaps. But I think that is the key here, is Memphis not. Was that a dumb mistake? Was that just a PR boo-boo? It's kind of hard to chalk that up to that, because that's communications 101. You learn you don't add to the story by responding to anonymous claims. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. You continued it as a university.
Yep.
You know, allowing Pat to write that story because you acknowledged it. Well, then DM can come and write it, and everybody else can come write. You've kept the story going. So I have a hard time believing that's just a dumb move over there. Feels like to me it's different. Like you said, back Wiseman, you're all locked in. Well, it's a different time now. You're going to year seven.
Yep.
So Penny, you know, I'm sure if he wasn't, he is aware now.
No question.
That somebody over there in that administration ain't got you back the way they used to, if they're signing up for this.
Staff changes, whether they were collaborative or asked for, on top of now this, I think it is a different business is about to pick up over there, and I think the message has been sent. Certainly, I that's just how I feel about it. I just don't think a university is, as staffed and as good as they are. I don't think they would just, whoops, we just accidentally slipped on a banana peel and acknowledged that we sent this to the NCAA. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't believe that, man. So, in terms of the rest of it.
I'm not worried about it. What was it, ACOT?
ACOT was mentioned, yeah.
ACOT never even got here.
Right.
This DeAndre thing, again, you start with the fact that Jermaine wasn't even employed by Memphis until November of that year. This thing makes the claim that he's paying DeAndre in July.
Right. Okay? First, I'd say bargain. $30,000 in this day and age.
Well, you were doing it in 2020.
Well, I mean.
And that was before.
They were a trendsetter. They were a trailblazer for NIL, as I've always said.
But the last one it mentions, we all know may very well have teeth.
With the Dandridge investigation.
The Malco investigation. It mentions names of other players. I don't feel the need to do that. Because, again, unlike Memphis, I would tell you, for now, that's just anonymous allegations. Until we see more, till we see more. Okay. You know, we heard some of those names when the Malco thing came out. And I don't think any of us, and I would have said irresponsibly, went out and named some of those other players we were hearing. Why? Because you're just hearing it.
Right.
It's just allegations. You're not supposed to do that. So, again, I would take you back saying that to say, why would Memphis give this thing any more credence?
Yep.
I said, yeah, we've gotten it.
Yep.
Then there's no story if you haven't. And it's whatever. So, you know, Penny got to, I guess you're already sort of circling the wagons with who you've cleaned out and what you're bringing in and all that. But now I think he's got to look, too, in terms of whether it's, you know, Ed Scott or Hargrave, and just know that this is going to be a different level of accountability you're being held to if, indeed, you know, that was planned.
GP has written about, and it's very rare that GP writes anymore. I don't know if you've sort of noticed that. He's not nearly the prolific writer. He's doing, you know, the TV thing for CBS Sports now, but he has written a column at CBS, and he just posted it. So if you don't mind, I'll read a little bit from it. It's kind of interesting. He said, the question that needs to be asked now is whether it's all just too exhausting. I mean, is anybody other than the folks who just love to bang on Memphis enjoying this anymore? Are any Memphis graduates, even the ones like me who wanted badly for Hardaway to get the job when he got the job and have rationalized lots of the nonsense more often than we probably should have, enjoying this anymore? I'm not. If you know anything about me, you know I hate to be wrong. But if you know anything about me, I hope you also know I'm not too big to admit when I'm wrong. And at this point, it's pretty clear I was wrong when I publicly campaigned for roughly a year for Memphis to fire Tubby Smith and hire Penny Hardaway. I was wrong. Sigh. I wasn't completely wrong, though. And then he goes into, you know, why Tubby was a bad hire. He says, I was right about all that stuff. But mixed in with all that stuff was one weird thing after another, from the investigations to the five-star recruit leaving the team midseason to the constant revolving door of assistants who have worked under Hardaway, most of whom I've spoken with over the years have described the experience as a circus and or chaotic. But again, now Memphis officials have acknowledged that they have turned over the NCAA documents alleging major rules violations by Hardaway and his staff, which may or may not have something to do with why Memphis assistants were essentially fired Wednesday, less than 9 weeks before the start of the season. To be clear, no actual proof of anything in the documents, at least not the documents obtained by CBS Sports, but the allegations are big. And if true, they are big enough that they would likely leave new Memphis AD Ed Scott no choice but to fire the school's greatest alum to step down only weeks after Scott replaced Laird Veach as the university's top athletic official. And then Gary talks about, it's a great column. He's talking about how personal it is for him, you know, as a Memphian, you know, which he does not, I mean, he tries to shy away from that, really, almost all the time in that job. But he says, where are things headed next? Who knows? Let the record show. I'm still hoping there's a way to stabilize things, learn from whatever mistakes might have been made, and move on in a way that actually leads my 14-year-old self's favorite basketball player winning the national title he once predicted he'd win. But as my 7-year-old son might say, I'm worn out, bruh. So, there you have it. Yeah, it's hard to argue against it. I mean, it is not fun. It has not been fun for. I mean, you have to have that thought. You're like, damn. It's just. It feels like there's been so much drama, and like there's just not been the fun that's accompanied it. Unfortunately,
I would still tell you have to give him the chance to pull himself out of it this year. I mean, I'm not sure if that's. I haven't read Gary's column yet. I'll go through it during the break, but there's not enough for me right now. And again, we just came out of a conversation. We've talked about, you know, how much of this can be proven, everything else. And yes, Penny's on probation, as I've not acknowledged a little bit of what Gary said. It's tiring. You know, you look up, and the fact that you're constantly having to talk about allegations, period, at a time when you're supposed to be on probation. Remember, Penny just served 3-game suspension last year. You know, for a recruiting violation.
Right.
It should be time to clean up. And so that part is tiring. But to say we were wrong, you know, I would still tell you it was the right hire for the right time. We also said this. Penny, right now, as a high school and grassroots coach, is going to have to learn on the job, right, for it to be the success. Mm-hmm. That he's going to, and part of that is what? Learning. And so what I tell you is, yeah, because we were among those two. Gary certainly wasn't the only one. We were saying, go hire Penny Hardaway. But that part can still be right. And then Penny, you know, didn't meet the expectations. Or Penny, when a route was there to go be successful, let's be real, 2 years ago, they had a shot to be in the Sweet 16, didn't come through. How much different would this be if they had been in the Sweet 16? How much different would that column be? How much different would it be, you know, last year if there's not the debacle of falling from 15-2? Again, successful coaches are not battling this. But we're here because, to many, and I would tell you it's probably fact now, it hasn't been what it was supposed to be. But rather than calling that a mistake at this point, I think you let Penny try to dig his way out of it from everything that he's learned this year, see how this plays out, see where you go from there. I mean, otherwise, when you came in, you know, cleaned all these assistants, just had him do all that, brother, you should have done it then. Because you just got rid of Rick Stansberry, who's got, you know, what did Hittman say, 5 of the 7 that are on the roster expected to do something, that's his. Now you're going to take Penny out of there, too, and have all this commotion right before a season? That, I mean, sure, we can say Penny Hardaway's not going to get the job done. I believed in him, and I was wrong on that. But I'd still tell you it was the right thing to do from where that ticket, he had earned it at that point.
Yeah.
From where tickets were and everything else. And now Penny has failed in growing at the job
right.
and taking it to the place that it can go.
Right.
That's not a failure of us.
Yeah.
That no said question. He was the right guy at the right time. That's a failure on him.
Yep.
Okay. And so now my question for him is, man, you've lost the national columnist that lives in Memphis. He don't believe in you anymore. You feel like the fan base is out on you. Your administration might be out on you now because it's telling you we're taking these allegations seriously and have turned it over to the NCAA. So my question for Penny now, is it still worth it? Are you still desperate to prove to all these folks that you still are the guy for the job? Because let me tell you something, firing.
Can you?
What?
Can you prove
it? Can you get it done? Can you prove?
Yeah. I mean, do you want to and can you?
Right now it's about do you want to?
Right.
Because if it's not worth it, you need Penny to step down.
Yeah.
Deal where you fire him and this gets messy.
Yeah.
You're still going to want his money as a booster, as an ambassador. So you say, is this worth it, man? You're killing. Your brand's getting hit here. We're getting hit left and right. And you do it as that mutual parting of ways. But I tell you, you need to let him try to fight out of it this season first. See where it goes. What comes of this Malco thing? You know, let that. If Penny may have already buried himself
mm-hmm.
with this Malco thing. I mean, if that's on your watch, you're on probation.
Right.
Malco's your dude, and if it involves anybody else, you know,
if they can prove
further
that he
evidence
knew about
on,
it.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. So let it play out.
Right.
Is what I tell you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do think that's something right there where you've lost. You know, a pretty strong voice who had your back to start this thing says he's out on you. He doesn't believe in you anymore. Man, we're getting more and more of those each day. I'd ask him, is it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, listen,
we're still
60 days away from the season starting. I mean, it's still 2 whole months, and it just feels like there's more and more coming out every single day.
Because the rules have got to matter enough, man, to where you're not getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, to where you're not making it a sloppy mess. It's got to matter that much. Now, sure, we can skirt. We have days of cow around here. We know how to skirt rules around. But it can't be like this where you just don't.
Can't just be blatant.
Reckless.
Over and over again. Yeah. Listen, I identify a lot with what GP wrote. But I will say, to your point.
No, I'm not ready to say, oh, I made a mistake. Well, we didn't make a mistake,
because they were number 10 in the country
last
season.
What did we tell you exactly?
Right?
Said it was the best it ever looked since Cal.
If we would have told you when Penny got hired that in year 6, right, not year 1, not year 2, but in year 6, he would be top 10 in the country in January, you'd just say, this is great.
Let me sign up for
this
it.
This is exactly what we hoped for.
It was better than at that point. Again, I know you can compare the records and say Josh has done better. He has. But at that time, Josh had not done that.
Right.
This was the latest in the season you'd been ranked that high since Cal. And so you felt in a way about that team at one point that you hadn't felt about the team in a year. He had been close. And I tell you, these conversations are a little bit different. Again,
yeah.
if you've got championships, if you're Bill Self, you know, they got you, it doesn't matter. They got your, you know, got you on tape.
Right.
Recorded. You're winning.
Yeah.
Folks will back off.
That's right.
North Carolina, when it's got an academic, well, you're on probation and you're not winning enough.
Yep.
So, bro, you have fewer friends now.
Yep.
And he better realize it and ask himself, is it still worth it?
There is no doubt about it, man. There's just no doubt about it. So it is a turbulent time, to say the least, at the University of Memphis and its basketball program. And Ed Scott knew this when he took the job. He knew that this was going to have to be something that he potentially had to deal with. That was not a secret to anybody. And I'm wondering, I think we're all wondering, is this the start of how he plans to deal with it? And we shall see. We shall see. Only time will tell. 60 days until the start of next season in terms of games, man. It's going to be a long wait until then. We'll come back. Drew Hill going to join us on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Ben here's talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we talk a lot about them because they've got great deals like this one through September 22nd. So you still got, what, 2.5 weeks? You can, you've still got, 2.5 weeks. All FanDuel customers can bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Again, just bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket. Then with the YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel any time. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to download America's number one sportsbook. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. Of course, FanDuel's got you covered this week, too. FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app. You use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all of Sunday. Pre-game Moneyline bets. Profit Boost will be live starting on Friday. View your account page now to learn more about your boost. It's only on FanDuel Sportsbook. Official partner, too, of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, but in a past life, he covered the Memphis Tiger basketball program, and he joins us every Thursday, and he joins us now. Drew, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I know you guys don't have a lot to talk about today, so I'm glad I'm able to join and just fill some time here.
Yeah, so why did you write that letter?
Oh, man, I don't know, because of my strong vendetta against... No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, this is crazy, right? Like, I can't help but be honest in this situation. And there came a point, like, covering that program, and I just read Gary's piece. I heard you guys talking about it in the first segment. But, like, covering that program is exhausting. I'm not making this about myself, and I shouldn't, but, like, it really was exhausting because you just never knew what was going to happen. And, like, for me, it was all the Wiseman stuff, and the recruiting at the time was just a totally different, and, you know, it felt like things would change every 24 hours. And, like, I had this, like, paranoia to even, like, step away from my phone for, you know, 15 minutes at a time, and it was really unhealthy, and I felt like just covering that team was exhausting for me. And so I have a ton of respect for the guys that are doing it now, all the guys out there breaking news, Hitmen, and, you know, all that Parth and Jason have to do. Like, man, I mean, that is a hard job. It really is a hard job. And, you know, I love covering the Grizzlies, and I've always liked the NBA, and I wanted to cover a professional team. And, like, there were other reasons why I wanted to cover the Grizzlies, just because I felt like it was going to be an awesome job. But, like, yeah, no, it just was a reminder, like, of what that was like and how this program literally does not stop, man. It just does not stop. It is constant.
Yep.
And to live in that, like, you do it as a fan, right? You, like, you're always keeping up and you're, like, waiting. But, like, if you are in the shoes of Jason or Parth, like, you literally have anxiety having to step away from your cell phone for, like, again, more than 10 minutes. And, like, that is a terrible feeling. It's just a terrible feeling. And, But this program just has a grip on this city, and so somebody's got to do the job, and that's why I feel like a lot of people that have had those jobs have turned out to be pretty successful. But this is wild. Like, I don't – this is hard. It's hard to figure out what to make of this for me because, again, we don't know that this anything that's written in that letter is true. And to me, that makes this a little bit slippery. And, like, I don't know if Memphis even really needed to turn the letter over, if we're being honest, because it's just an anonymous letter. And we don't know who it's from. So, like, if this was somebody that was within the program, then or recently exited the program, which I suppose it could be, but I think that that would give it a little bit more grounds. But I guess this is the way they're going to do it. If they want to run a cleaner program and then you're going to turn over everything, then go ahead and do it. But to me, it was more about the fact that Penny just decided to make these changes late. And I'm still curious to know exactly how and why that came about. I don't think we have clear answers to that. And it's as he put it himself, it's not ideal timing, but it's like worse than not ideal timing for this to happen right now, because now nothing is going on in college basketball. And so you are at the forefront of the talking points of everyone. And so if it's already a challenge for Penny to have to deal with a lot of the criticism that he faces, and clearly he has a problem with a lot of it, like, man, this is really putting yourself out there. Like, this is really putting yourself in the spotlight in a situation like this when you decide to move on from all those coaches at this point. So for me, it's really hard to figure out, because if this was Penny's doing, like, he's kind of doing it to himself. But if this was a decision that came from elsewhere because of this letter or whatever else may be in the air over there at the basketball facility, then I think that's a little bit of a different situation. But it feels like we're just in the early stages of this, right? We still have a lot to come here in this saga, and it's never ending. It's just like a never ending soap opera that runs every single day, you know, on your TV when you're sick at home as a kid. That's what this feels like.
I mean, you never know. Somebody might, you know, write a letter and send it to Memphis, you know, just somebody off the street, and they may acknowledge that they've received it, and we could have a new story tomorrow. It's just so odd to me that they would go that route, Drew, unless it's clearly them trying to tell Penny, I think you touched on a little bit, you know, we're going to do this a different way. You just, it's just communications one-on-one, right? That you don't, you've had a ton of letters sent to you, whether you were the Grizzlies beat writer or the Tigers beat writer, that said, hey, Drew, I want you to know this is going on, and it's anonymous, and it sits there on your desk, you know, because there's nothing you can do with it, and certainly Memphis isn't going to acknowledge its existence. The fact that they did that, I just think is such a key point in this story.
Yeah, verification's a big part of this. Like, I'll be honest, I feel like I can say this now. Like, the word had gotten around that Ja had been in a fight, you know, that summer. Like, but and it wasn't until the lawsuit came about that all got verified, because it was extremely difficult to verify, and the police were involved, and, like, yep. I think that there was a lot there, right? But, like, that wasn't something that just was immediately on the radar, but that's not something that you just put out there without verifying first.
Right.
And it feels like the university is giving them some validation, right? By
100%.
By sending this letter over. Otherwise, it's just an anonymous letter. And so you're validating what they're saying when you do that, or you're doing it to prove a point.
That's it. That's it.
And maybe that, I think those are the routes that this could have gone here. But I'm with Gary. After reading it, he's right. It's never boring. It's exhausting. It's been exhausting. And I think it would just be so great to have the Tigers and the Grizzlies really good in the city at the same time. And in all the years I've been here, we've never gotten to experience that. It's been like one or the other. And so I don't know where Memphis goes from here, but or what the future of Penny Hardaway looks like. And I don't think anybody, even to this day, is really calling for his job, or at least not the majority of people. They're just calling for something different than this. This is just too much. It's one thing after the next. And is there a way to get to a point where this feels more stable? And you bring players back and you have some continuity, and, like, you know, every new player that you add to the team, you don't worry if they're actually not going to show up on campus or something's going to happen. Like, you know, from Mikey Williams' situation, and like it felt like, you know, they had a good thing going with him and Mike, and then that they split up there with Mike Miller as his assistant coach, and then they split. Mm-hmm. And so everything that seems to be headed in the right direction takes a detour. And, like, eventually you get tired of taking detours and you just want to kind of move in a linear direction as a program. And they've been unable to do that so far.
Yeah. It's going to be a hard way out either way. I mean, I think there's no great option, to be honest. But, you know, again, 60 days, man, 60 days until the season starts, which kind of feels crazy. Let's pivot to Grizzlies here. News yesterday, Gigi Jackson out for the next 12 weeks at least. I think we can tack on the Grizzlies tax to that. So he'll be out for the next 15 weeks. But what do you make of the injury, its impact on the Grizzlies rotation, the impact for Gigi, just all of it?
Yeah, it's interesting because I agree. I think Chris and I, we talked about this on our podcast yesterday, which should be going up today at some point. We talked about how this is probably a bigger blow for Gigi individually than it is for the Grizzlies. Gigi, by nature, has been a little bit streaky, right? It feels like his strides come in really big, explosive moments, right, where he's like that. You think about that stretch he went on when he played really well against the Warriors on national TV. He kind of just exploded onto the scene there, and then he faded for a little bit, and then he came back and reminded everybody how great he is. And then we even had a little bit of that in Summer League this year, where he started out slow but then played a few good games. And it's like I want Gigi to be able to find some consistency, so I think interrupting his second season, which is usually a season where players make a really big jump in the NBA, isn't ideal for the Gigi Jackson situation. Now, am I worried about Gigi long term? No, I'm not. Am I worried about this injury being something that's going to like wreck his season? No, not. I'm really not. But I do think that it is a bummer for him. The Grizzlies, at least at this stage, like they don't have a ton of depth behind him. But I think Jake has shown you enough that you feel pretty good about him coming in and filling Gigi's role. The truth is that Jake and Gigi are kind of in the same position because both players were going to have to prove that they can play within a structure where they're going to take fewer shots and they're going to be asked to be more efficient. Mm-hmm. And I think Jake would have been like he would have competed for those minutes in training camp. I mean, everybody kind of expected that Gigi, if they do go with a 10-man rotation, Gigi would probably have the edge there. But I think that those two were definitely going to be competitive. And Jake, even I got to give him some credit, man. Even I had some doubts last year as the injuries piled up for the second straight time. Like he came in as a rookie. He immediately played rotation minutes. He got off to a slow start. That was pretty predictable. He's not used to the speed of the game. His body's not ready for the NBA, et cetera, et cetera. So that was kind of predictable. He gets injured. He hurts his back. He's done for basically the season. Like, he only plays in spots, you know, the rest of the way. The Grizzlies are competitive that year, so, you know, they're playing their best combinations, and there's no room for Jake to really get on the court. So that's year one. Year two, Santi gets hurt at the beginning of the season, and Jake gets the mulligan, and he's back there playing rotation minutes at the beginning of the year. And again, he gets off to a slow start, and then he hurts his eye, and then he turns his ankle. And so at that stage, I was pretty much ready to be done. I had my doubts about his capability for sure. And I think he answered a lot of those questions late in the season when he played really well. That was an entirely different situation. He's played really well in low-stakes, high-opportunity situations. We haven't seen him play well yet in high-stakes, low-opportunity situations. And so whether it's Gigi or Jake, they were both going to be in that position where they've only really succeeded in situations unlike what you would expect them to play if the team is competitive. So I feel like Memphis isn't in all that different of a spot as they were before, so I'm not, like, concerned about the hit that they're going to take without having Gigi out there. Both players are pretty good three-point shooters. And I do think that Jake has the makings to be a good role player in the league. Shot 46%, I believe, on corner three-pointers last year. Like that, they're going to ask him to do a lot of that if he's a role player and the stars are available. And he was really good at getting to the line last year. I think he was getting fouled at like a 14.1% rate on shooting fouls. So that's a good number too. So he does the things you kind of need from a role player. And so I've kind of changed my tune. I think Jake is going to be productive for the Grizzlies this year. And I think Jake would push GG no matter what in this situation. And so, I'm not overly concerned. I just really hope that this doesn't mess up GG's development at all.
Well, how are you feeling about Kalen DeBoer after not a test whatsoever, but a first time out, 63-0. You handle Western Kentucky, and you've got a South Florida team coming up that gave Nick a few problems last year.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about Kalen DeBoer. Again, I don't know if this is the year, but he's recruited well. I think he's going to run a good offense every single year. He's won every place that he's been. And so I expect Alabama to handle business against South Florida. You know, last year, that was such a strange game because they benched Milroe and they were using two terrible quarterbacks. Yep. In addition to it being an absolute monsoon out and it was pouring rain the whole game. So, you know, all those things combined kind of created a mess, but with good weather, I'm actually going to be there this weekend for the Nick Saban stadium naming thing. I'm planning a trip down there. I'm going with my sister and her boyfriend. So
you'll be in attendance for the Byron Brown show.
Yeah, I will be. I will be.
Hey, Byron Brown is him.
Drew doesn't believe.
He's a good quarterback. We'll see. I think Alabama's defense might be the strength of the team this year. I don't know if having your defense be the strength of your team is going to win a ton of SEC games because, like, go watch Tennessee. Like, they're going to score a million points. Georgia's obviously so loaded that they're going to be extremely difficult to beat. And so, again, I'm just going to stand here on my prediction of 9-3, 10-2. And I think that's where they're going to come in. But I feel good about DeBoer in the future long term still, for sure.
Yeah. So far, so good. No question about it. Hey, Drewski, you're the best, man. Appreciate the time, as always.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you, brother.
Is Drew Hill, covers Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to, you know, the real test for Bama. We obviously won't get it this weekend. I mean, they're 30-point favorites against South Florida. I think I kind of do like South Florida plus 30.
Well, it sounds like you do.
But it's kind of a tough one to bet.
Well, there's not going to be another monsoon.
Not going to be another monsoon. That's right. But, I mean, is Bama really like that without Saban? I don't know. I don't.
They look like they still are, at least offensively.
I'd like to know kind of what Washington football did last year, you know, against a team like South Florida. Did they play somebody like that out of league? You know, I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I'd be interested. I think the over is probably good, though, would be my mm-hmm. guess. Over feels like, you know, they'll contribute, you know.
I think so.
I think South Florida will contribute to that total. So, anyway, yeah, it should be a fun weekend in college football. I mean, Washington beat Boise State last year 56-19. So, DeBoer has run it up before. 43-10 over Tulsa. So, that number's probably about right at 30, but I still like the over. All right, we will come back with the rundown. Adam Turnoff going to join us at 1:20.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.